This is a recording of the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Technical Map. It took place on Monday, January 23rd, 2023. The Fusion Technical Map, held every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central U.S. Time. And it's held in room and YSF reflector 21493. Good day, all. This is Chris, K9EQ, and welcome to the January 23rd edition of the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Technical Map. This net is held just about every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. The net is sponsored by the Bakken Amateur Radio Society, and it operates on the Minnesota-Wisconsin room 21493, as well as in YSF reflector 21493. This is an open technical net, and we request that you check in through net control. Control stations tonight are myself, Shane, N0PXT, and Odie, W4IOD. Just to remind you, there's a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz chat, and you can converse with the net control stations and other folks that are there. You can also stream the broadcast tonight by clicking on the appropriate links at hamoperator.com. And with that out of the way, do we have any announcements for the net? Okay, not hearing any announcements for the net. We'll see if, Odie, do you have any updates on the YSU equipment or pricing or whatever you might have? K9EQ,
KNIV-QUW4 Audi. Good evening, Chris, to you and everyone else on the net. And it's one of the things that it's always a challenge to keep up with the pricing on things. The only thing that I was the fact that Yeezy was running still running their repeater program, no trade-ins, straight out. $700 for the repeater without the land card and $900 with it. So it runs through January 6th through March 3 for those needing a form. They can hide those, but I'm good on an email and I'll shoot you the PDF file with the application. I noticed there was a typo on the application and I'll see if Yezu corrects that, but I would say it was probably an oversight. They just rolled it over from the last repeater period. Not that Rick's going to be happy if he hasn't got his FT-991A. Just check that prior to the net over at DX Engineering. They're still showing them on order, but the estimated ship date is January the 27th, so next Friday, hopefully, the next shipment will start going out from them, those folks. And none of the other ones actually post a date. It's just on order. So we don't really have anything as far as that. For the most part, I think that's pretty much it. I think everything is going to end January 31st on the other radios. And this is for the U.S. Only, so if you're in Europe or in VK land, you probably need to check with your dealers there. But the 101 MP, I think, has still got the 300 off. The 101 and D model still got the 2. The FTDX is still 100 bucks off. The newest radio, the FT710, is 50 bucks off. The 400, if you can find one, $100 off. And the FT5DR is $60 off. I think that pretty much surmises it, Chris. K9EQW4IOD, back to net control.
Okay, thank you for that update, Odie. And we'll add Pete80MI to the list of net control stations. Good evening to you, Pete. Okay, well, we've got a few things planned for tonight. Couple of interesting things, a teaser associated with a question that I've got for people on the net, like, when is it you can get into the repeater on low power but not on high power? That was a puzzler. I want to see if anybody else has had that experience. But before we do all that, we'll see if people have any questions, observations, anything new in the land of amateur radio. Please call Net Control. This is K9EQ. I'm not hearing anything right away. I'll get started with some of the stuff, I guess. And this is just a teaser. I'm not going to find out the answer to this week. And that is, I was had an experience the last week of the natural variety, not the supernatural. And I was operating my FT-70. And talking to, using my repeater that's located back up at the house. I live up on a hill here in San Diego and cover the area pretty well with an antenna or the repeater at the house. And I was trying to do the wire sex control thing with the radio and it wasn't working. And I was fiddling around with it. But it worked when I put the radio on low power, which, of course, sitting in the parking lot caused me to scratch my head and figure that I wasn't going to solve the problem sitting in the parking lot. But I did track it down. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But I wanted to ask folks if they've experienced something like this, where you're using a Fusion repeater, you're in the digital mode, and you try to do something like, change the room or some kind of digital control function, and you haven't been able to get in the repeater on high power. But then when you turn the radio down to low power, it actually works. And I'm just wondering, this happened on my FT70, although I think it could easily happen on any radio. But I was just curious. Thought I'd take this opportunity to see if anybody else has had that, a similar experience. Get into the repeater fine on low power, but you can't get into it on high power. If you have such an experience, give Net Control a call. This is K9EQ.
K9EQ, this is WA9MO.
Ah, WA9E. Hello. There's a guy on FT8WB9E. And I keep calling him thinking, anyway, go ahead. What can you add?
Now, this happens on my DR1X and my DR2X. I was swamping the receiver, but I was running high power. I was running high power on either the 300 or the 991 or the 400. And when I went to low power, then it worked.
Oh, okay. Two radios. I want to tune in next week. Well, I'll add to the adventure. So I was actually on high power when I was out tooling around Escondido, because I thought, well, I might need high power on an HD to get into the repeater. Turns out I didn't. When I got back home, I drove into the driveway, sitting there in my car, could look across the garage and see the rack where the repeater is installed. The same thing happened. I don't think it had anything to do with the repeater receiver in my particular case. Not to say that it couldn't in other cases. But to my surprise and horror, I was able to repeat that problem with the HD sitting here in the house, 50 feet from the antenna, which I didn't expect would happen. Thanks for that. Anybody else have a similar experience where high power doesn't work but low power does?
I'm at a radio club meeting now, so I'm going to sign Chris, but thank you for your help with putting back that that board last year.
If those guys in the club use Fusion at all, ask them. They've had a similar experience. 73 Rob. Anybody else? Okay, well, I got a comment here from 80MI, and he said he's had that when his battery is low, and the high power just shuts the HD down, which it will do. There's protection circuits in the battery, and when that voltage gets too low, it just cuts the power. That isn't this case. I thought it was because my battery wasn't. My battery wasn't fully charged, but it certainly wasn't having that sort of a problem with getting cut off. When I tried it with a fully charged battery, same thing happened. Anyway. All right. Well, we've got a couple of observations there. What Rob had there, I was not expecting that. Two radios, but there might be something different that he has going on. But be on the lookout for it. Maybe in the next week, with your HTs and radios and whatnot, just give it a try. see if the problem exists on high power and not low power. And once again, that problem is not being able to enter wireless X mode, you know, holding the DX button, that kind of thing. And I've observed and confirmed the problem on the FT70, so maybe it's more likely in FT70s. I wouldn't think so, but could be. So if you guys wouldn't mind just running those tests in the next week and see if we find any other instances of it. Very good. Well, not very good, because I'm bummed that my HT can't control a repeater on high power. But anybody with questions or comments or observations for the net, this is K9EQ. And this is K9EQ looking for anybody has questions or comments regarding fusion, or I mean, we'll take other things too. You know, HF, SWR, why is everything so expensive? I don't know if we can do very well at that. I will give you a reminder though that the bands have been doing really well. And that 10 meters has been going like gangbusters. And so, you know, even with your, if you've only got a tech license, you can still play around on 10 meters and 6 meters. And 6 meters can be a lot of fun as well. And as we get more into the peak season, we'll be talking about that more. But the time to get on 10 meters and 6 meters is starting about now, and it will probably be great in April, May, June, stuff like that. I decided I would go for the XCC, which is working 100 countries. I'm at 99 right now. And I'm just using a crappy wire antenna and 100 watts and FT8. So anyway, you can do it too. The XCC, you already did the work to all states again. Because when you move more than 25 miles, you got to do it again. Anyway, okay. I'm just getting an update here. Okay, copy you, Otis. That'd probably be a good segue. Pete mentions it's going to be a little chilly, sub-zero weather starting this weekend in the Minnesota. And by sub-zero, we mean sub-zero Fahrenheit, which is more dramatic than sub-zero Celsius. Sub-zero Celsius being 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Pete's got a DR1X up in Pine County, no heating. And boy, if you want to test environmental on a repeater, that's a good place to do it. We'll keep it warm by transmitting. Otis, what's going on 29.250?
Oh, K9EQ on the net. This is W4IOD. Good evening once again, Chris. And I think you surmised it pretty good. Things are hopping. The solar flux index for today was 199, and looking ahead to tomorrow, 189. So it is declining a little bit, but it's still excellent condition. So you're still going to have good conditions on 10 meters. And then I know YJJ is waiting on the FT991A. But for you folks that do have that, and we've actually tested, Chris and myself, the ability for some of the FTs to actually receive a group monitor mode on 29250. You won't be able to transmit, but you can actually receive the packet, data packet, with the GPS information and the call sign and some of the voice traffic that's associated with that, but that just never gets old. Quite a few contacts made today, and they have a Facebook group over there that they keep score with that I try to post daily updates on as far as who I've seen and who I've talked to. But if you have an FT-991, 29250, remember, that is outside of the tech portion, so general and higher in that license, not that I'm checking on credentials. Set your FT-991 up with your call sign and your GPS information. To go enter route mode, you got to remember you have to have the squelch closed. It won't beacon if the squelch is open. So set up your squelch and put it in group monitor mode, and it'll beacon about every 15 seconds. And then as you receive data packets, if they're within communication range, they'll turn blue. At that point, the talk and try to make the call. But well, as with everything on 10, if you have any QSB whatsoever, with digital, it's not going to fade. It's just going to go, and then it'll come back. But a lot of fun with that, and I know a lot of folks are enjoying that as well. Expensive radio, and that is the only one that has 10 meters on it with C4 FM, but it is a lot of fun. We've done it on the 2-meter and the 70-centimeter in regards to the mobile traffic, but it's a whole lot. It's a whole lot of fun on 10 meters. It just requires some patience. Chris, we're going to send it right back to you. W4IOD, back to net control.
Okay, and P80 MI is making plans to abscond with Chuck's FT-991 to try that, I guess. It does take a lot stronger signal with the C4 FM than, you know, other modes on HF. And I'm not sure how interested folks are on the net about that kind of stuff. But, you know, Balkan Amateur Radio Society, we're all about doing new things and experimenting and trying things. It might be a little bit of a jungle if you have not been on HF before. Well, I'll guarantee you some of these digital modes are just amazing. All it takes is really hooking your computer up to just about any HF radio. And you don't need to invest a huge amount of money in an HF radio either. That, you know, the 991 is nice, but you can always get something lower scale, something used. There's plenty of stuff out there that would just work superbly, and nothing to put up an antenna. Well, coax cable, hunk of wire from the hardware store, and you can get on the air. And as was mentioned earlier, tech license is all you need to get on 10 meters, and 6 meters, and so on. And right now, you can have a whole lot of fun just on 10 meters. So I would encourage people to maybe consider getting on HF if they haven't done so before. But I'm also interested in knowing what people feel about that. If you'd like to hear more about getting on HF and stuff like that. And all this tech up to 28.5. So the okay, so right, it's been so long since I was a tech. Yeah, so you've got the lower 500 kilohertz of 10 meters, and believe me, that's way more than enough space to do everything you want to do just about. Well, this is half the deal then. The techs cannot do the C4 FM bit. Go ahead.
Okay, honey, QW4OD, that is correct. They have phone privileges on 10 from 28.3 to 28.5. I believe that's where it cuts off for them. So that would be the only HF band that they have phone privileges on. But that is my favorite band, and if you're going to have privileges on a band, that's a great band to have it on when it's working. And with the solar cycle the way it is, working very well. So we have the privilege to not only work a little bit with C4 FM, we actually got over on the sideband portion and had a good QSO with our friend Mac again this evening, who we had not chatted with for 8 years. And also my friend Stu over there, VK4SDV, very good QSO with him as well. So conditions on 10 meters are very good right now. But that is the deal. Like I said, I'm not going to be checking credentials. That's between them and the FCC, but legally here in the United States, 28.3 to 28.5 phone privileges for the tech. W4IOD back to net control.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to make sure that I keep thinking the techs have all of 10 meters. Techs should have all of 10 meters, don't you think? Good grief. Come on, FCC. Upgrade to general. Anyway, yeah, the 10 meters, it's a, what do we call it, an entry a drug. You get a taste of it and all that kind of stuff. So how do people feel? Would you care for learning a little bit more about HF and maybe cover some questions like, you know, how the log books work and what are the digital modes and how do you do those, stuff like that. Take a quick poll here if people are interested in hearing more of that. If we hear silence, we'll drop it way down on the priority list. Stations, go ahead now.
K0YJA, Rick, Pine Island, Minnesota.
All right. We know you're interested in it.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay. A little astonished that there isn't more interest. But I don't want to talk here about things that people aren't interested in, so... looking to see if there's any interest in discussing on-air activities other than fusion, such as you know, getting on HF and stuff like that. Any interest? Go ahead.
K982, this is KN6AYW.
Alpha Bravo 4, Whiskey Sierra, Jack in Big Bend, Kentucky. I think it's very interesting.
Whiskey Zero, Delta Mike, Germany, David, Minneapolis.
Oh, okay, we got a few stations there, and I think what came across on the screen was AB4WS, but I don't think that's the right call sign. Could you come back?
Alpha Bravo 4, Whiskey Sierra. Name is Jack. Located in Big Bone, Kentucky. And I was just expressing that it sounded interesting to me as a topic. AB4WS.
Okay, well, you guys kind of overwhelmed the net control stations here that are logging. So what I have is KN6AYW, thanks, Jack, and then W0DMG and N6PSP. No, wait. Okay. KN6AYW, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Chris and Annette. This is Jim, KN6AYW here in La Quinta, California. This doesn't pertain to HF, but I was just wondering if anybody else had this kind of problem. I have a Yaesu FT5D, and I got the right cable to go into the computer, and it was working fine for probably 3 weeks. And then one day it quit. And I had fits trying to get the thing up and running. It still isn't running. And I'm having to go through a hotspot now instead of directly into the internet through the computer. N6PSP, friend of mine, Rick, we actually did, you know, to double check everything. He actually brought his computer over, used my radio and my cable into his computer, worked fine. Talked to Yaesu. Yaesu says the sound part on my computer went south. so it would not let me hook up to Wires X. And so I'm still beating on this poor old dog, and probably going to send the computer away to try to get another sound card put in. Anybody else with problems like that as far as Wires X?
Okay, we'll get Mac for the HF bit in just a second. Well, sorry to hear about the problems and the the USBs, all that stuff can be a little flaky. And Windows plays the various games with sound cards. And I know I've had my fun here because we're basically I'm taking audio from an FT991 on the USB port, and that's what's being streamed over the internet on the computer that's sitting here doing other things. Anyway, Otis, do you want to see if you can see? Yeah, okay. I had a call wrong. Do you want to see if you can help Rich?
K9EQW4IOD. Yeah, I can do that. It's nothing that, I've played with that since I've about pulled my hair out with it, but I think we pretty much got it licked for the most part. Rich, I have a question for you. What version of Windows are you running on that computer?
Sorry, I had the wrong name here. It's Jim.
My apologies. I'm a call signs, not names, but my apologies, Jim. What version of Windows are you running on that computer?
It makes two cables, and the one for Windows 10 and below absolutely won't work. So I do have the proper cable after HRO sent me the wrong one to begin with and assured me it was the right one. So, you know what, too? I've got bald spots now where I've been pulling my hair out. But, you know what, too? There's more than one way to skin a cat. And like I said, I have a new OS 4 Pro and absolutely a great little hotspot. So that's what I'm talking on now, but that's not what I intended to do. So I can't really get into the Wires X dashboard. I am now looking at the OpenSpot 4 dashboard, and I can't go to have access to all the other rooms right there in front of me. So that's one thing that I'm kind of burning rubber on. How's that? Back to you.
Hey, Jim, we're going to have a problem here. And let's see. Okay, nobody on Wires X is hearing you. And you're on the Hotspot 4, and we've had that problem before with the Hotspot 4. And you got more than one problem. Anyway, Otis, he's on Windows 10, and from what I was hearing, I think, Jim, you should make sure you have the right driver installed. You have to go on to Yaesu's website and kind of separately install a Wires X driver. But let me move on, Jim. We'll get back to you maybe at the end of the net or something like that and see if we can help you, because we don't want to leave you out there hanging. But right now, nobody's hearing you except if they're on the hotspot network. However, Otis does. Okay, we'll go ahead with the comment, Otis.
K9EQW4IOD returning. Well, I grasped enough of that. Jim's last transmission was in and out here, so it was hard for me to determine exactly what he was saying. But I think I grasped enough of it's Windows 10 and that he's had an issue. And I'll just share some experiences that I've seen in the past a lot of times, as you mentioned, Windows does those Patch Tuesday pushes, and it wants to reassign the sound cards, and me and you both, Chris, have fought that battle. And I've actually helped some folks out in regards to them reinstalling that and actually getting the Bluetooth port, COM port assigned. So it's very important that you assign the software to the right port. As Lance has mentioned, some of the computers do not like the WiresX software in regards to that. And one of the workarounds for that that we've discovered is the little USB dongle, like the Sabret, I'll spell Sierra Alpha Bravo Romeo Echo November Tango, USB sound cards that you can install in one of your USB ports. It tends to help in regards to getting things set up. But that would be my advice to you in regards to that. Not knowing what brand of computer it is, I know on Windows 11 with the different cables and everything, some of them say it won't work, some say it you have to buy a new cable, but there is a workaround for that. So it's very important to make sure that you have the right COM port selected, because if you do not, it will not operate. And my apologies for not being able to hear you, Jim, but it's kind of hard to troubleshoot that over the radio. But I would recommend, like Chris says, check your drivers and check your COM ports. A lot of times that's what happens when Windows pushes out those monthly updates. Chris, coming back to you. W4IOD, back to net control.
Okay, I don't know what's going on. Oh, okay, so Jim, Shane was hearing Jim okay. Okay. Was it your and Otis? You sent me down the wrong path here trying to troubleshoot a problem. Jim, we'll get back to you. I want to finish up. Whoops. What happened? Now, we'll get back to you. I want to finish up with this HF thing. K6 PSP in Palm Springs. Rich, you're interested in the HF stuff? That means we're beeping here. Okay. Too much information sometimes. Just quickly, anybody else? Well, I think we had W0DNG in Minneapolis. Any thoughts about the covering more material? Go ahead, Dave.
W0DMG. No, not really. I haven't messed with any of that stuff in so long and dealt with running a radio into the computer. My FP100D just runs straight into a good quality switch because I got stuff in different places in this room. So I just wanted to get a chance to turn it on and get some use out of it. It's been sitting here getting dusty.
Okay, well, welcome, Dave. Yeah, the net here meets 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Hamoperator.com is the website. We've got recordings of past episodes, streaming this episode. It has a chat room. If you go to MinWiz chat at hamoperator.com, there's a chat box, and you can communicate with the net control stations and others. So far, not a lot going on tonight in the chat box. Hey, in the chat box, if you're interested in more stuff like HF and whatnot, just let us know. And if you're in the chat box and you haven't been typing, just type something so we know you're there, because we don't know who's connected. Anyway, okay, let's, before getting back to Jim, let's just go and see if anybody else has any questions or comments for the net. Call K9EQ.
KF0IWN.
Okay, KF0IWN, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Got my technician's license this past spring, so been playing around with VHF, UHF, but interested in HF. Just don't have a rig at this particular point in time. But just kind of looking around at ways to get started with minimal fuss just to get off the ground, because I really don't have any of the equipment. And was been touring around on DX Engineering, looking at some of their packages that they have. One would be, have capabilities beyond my technician's license, but give me room to grow via the ASU FT891 with a power supply and automatic antenna tuner, radio interface cable, and just a whole bunch of stuff that would kind of be what you need to go on an HF in a box. I'm just curious what any opinions you have on that, or if you would steer clear of a package and do your own research.
Okay, well, some good questions here. I mean, the 891 is a fine radio. No objections with that radio. FYI, your mic gain is a bit too high. We're getting a lot of breath sounds from you. So what you want to do is kind of not talk into the mic, but talk across the mic so the poof doesn't show up. I've got a headset here with a little fuzzy thing on the microphone, so hopefully I don't have that problem. A lot of it depends upon how price sensitive you are. Because I would claim one of the two worst things that were done to amateur radio is aluminum and 50-ohm coax. Because one wants to buy antennas made out of aluminum, or at least people want you to buy them. Let's face it, our objectives are not the same as the manufacturers. And there is this belief that all antennas have to be 50 ohms. They don't have to be 50 ohms. It goes back to World War II and the Army and Jeeps is where 50 ohms came from. So one of the configurations that I really like is, and let me just add one more thing. The tuner at the radio makes it so the radio is happy with what SWR is coming down the coax. It doesn't improve anything. It just makes radios happy, which is not a bad thing in and of itself, because we don't want unhappy radios. The tuner at the antenna is part of the antenna, and tuning the antenna does make it perform better. And one of the things I like to do is to bump across all the bands, which is not your problem right now with a technician license. But that's my preferred mode of operation. So what I have is a hunk of wire from the hardware store. I have a little bit of ladder line, which is dirt cheap, and it goes to a wide range tuner, like an SC40 or AH4. And with the push of the button on my radio, I can operate any band 80 through 6 meters with that antenna. So the antenna is about 6 cents, plus about 280 or 300 for the tuner. And then the coax running to the radio is all 50 ohms, and we're good from there. But since you're kind of limited to 10 meters, it's nothing to build a 10-meter dipole. You just take a hunk of wire and measure it to the right length, or essentially trim it when you're done. One wire goes to the shield of the coax, the other goes to the center conductor. String it out horizontally, run the coax down to your radio, and there you go. No tuner required. That will get you on 10 meters just fine. And I don't know if you can on 10 meters, but you will be working stations around the world with that. But anyway, that would be the place to start. The other thing I would mention that applies to everybody, go find your local amateur radio club. Marty, you seem to be in Burnsville, and there's the Burnsville Amateur Radio Club down there. It's an outstanding amateur radio club. And if you haven't checked them out, I would suggest checking them out. And it's very likely there's some folks there with surplus. I'll guarantee you most hams that have been around for a while have surplus equipment. And they might, you might be able to borrow something before you invest money, see what you like and what you like. But I would suggest looking at the local radio clubs. And does that help, Marty?
I don't know if you can hear me, but my radio is maybe taking a little bit of a dive here.
Well, we did copy that. Oh, yeah. Marty might be having problems there, so, or his radio is. Marty's doing fine. I'm a candidate for listening to the podcast as a recorded episode. Anyway, from the chat window, Scott. Hi, Scott. And, okay, so Scott wants to be added to the info or HF interest. He has $991 money. Sadly, is going to his daughter's wedding fund. You got to establish priorities, Scott. Oh, and listening to, I think he's on, was listening on the stream, maybe. Is that what that is? All right, I didn't check to see how many people we have on the stream. Man, not many, three. Could be one of them. Anyway, well, besides establishing priorities and being happily married is probably a priority. I get it with the 991 money. But I hope, Scott, that the stuff we mentioned to Marty helps. And, you can get a decent used radio, I would say, for less than $400, but the way to get it is to check out the local radio clubs, find somebody there with gray hair, and see what radios he wants to get rid of. So I guess that's a suggestion. Anybody else with any comments? This is K90Q.
Can you have 0IWN recheck if possible?
Yeah, go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hopefully I've adjusted. I'm holding the mic. Maybe that's better if I could get a check on that.
Much improved.
I really appreciate the feedback on that. First of all, I hadn't really given it thought other than it totally makes sense what you said there with the, breath and just the type of mic and the windscreen. I guess that makes a lot of sense to me. And just a quick thank you on the equipment advice as I tried to rekey, the radio. The screen went blank and I restarted it, but I think I pretty much caught everything that was said. So just wanted to say thank you very much.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, you are on the Burnsville repeater. Talking about the Burnsville Amateur Radio Club. And we were still getting some breathy noises there. So here's something that we've mentioned this before. People might be interested. You too can hear what you sound like. And there is a great website. It's hamradio.solutions. And let me just go to it here so I don't lead you astray. Hamradio.solutions. And Dan says hello from Wisconsin. KB9WGP. Hope you're staying warm, Dan. So if you go to hamradio.solutions, on that page, you'll see the NDR, the Network Digital Radio Monitor. And if you click on that, and a little bit, a list of a bunch of YSF reflectors comes up. One of them says US-MIN with MNWIF. And right now it says I'm talking YSF21493. If you click on that, up comes a table of basically all the transmissions that have taken place for the last couple of days. And you can see your call sign on there if you've spoken recently. And you can click the little play button and you can hear yourself talking to you. And that's pretty much up all the time. You can kind of go back through time and you can see VK5JP there on the 21st, 4:19 p.m. East from Australia. Hard to understand. Pretty bad time, Pete. I know he's listening. Anyway, Marty, so you can use that as a guide to set the audio. Generally, the digital audio gain is a little too high on the Acer radios, and the analog audio gain is not high enough. I tend to turn them all down a notch from the default, so that would be 4 or low, depending upon how your radio works. And talk, somewhat softly, and you don't have to hold the microphone real close when you're on digital, and then maybe climb up on it a little bit more when you're on FM. Okay, well, hope we hear you back next week, Marty. Anybody else? Comments, questions, observations? For the net, K90Q.
W9FCC, Whiskey 9 Foxtrot, Charlie.
Okay, everybody behave. The FCC's here. W9FCC, go ahead, Dan.
Yep, I'm taking names. What was my question now? Just a comment. I would be interested in hearing about HF also. I've been a ham for 50 years, but I welcome the information you gave tonight. So I'm all for that. That's all I have at W9FCC.
And the NSA, another federal agency, indicates that Dan has an ICOM 7300. All right, Dan, we got your number. Anybody else? Thanks for your comments, Dan. Anybody else?
November 8th, outbound the X-ray.
November 8th, Alpha X-ray. Go ahead.
You've got some interesting stuff going on there. I just thought I'd throw in a couple of things. So far as, getting a start on the HF, I don't know if I've heard anybody mention, but I know most of you guys have used the SDR thing. I like the Utah one. That's a place you could take a look and just see what's going on 10 meters, see what's happening in the available range, and how they operate, and whether it's something you're interested in. So I thought that might be a first start. Doesn't cost you anything. You can just look up the SDR. I don't remember the link. Maybe one of you guys remember it and you can throw that out there. But that would be a place you'd start. So far as setting audio, too, if you're going in through a hotspot, the YSF does have a parrot function, which you can is a good way to set your digital mic gain. So once you've got that set, I found it works. If you set it on there, it works pretty well across most things, or at least I haven't gotten any complaints. And I guess that's about all I got for right now.
Okay, very good. What Steve is referring to is there are some people that have SDR, software-defined radios of various types running, and you know, they're set to receive, you know, like the HF bands, and you can connect to them with your browser, and depending upon how they're set up, potentially more than one person can tune them and listen to the various things that are on the air. And I found them useful when I'm trying to hear like a net, and I, because of the local noise, I can't hear a dang thing or whatever. I want to hear how I sound in Colorado. I'll connect to one in Colorado. But related to that, Steve's comment, you can get an SDR for $30. They're available on Amazon and stuff like that. And you download some free software, stick it into your computer. You have to stick an antenna on the SDR, but that little $30 gadget will basically receive everything from DC through about 1.5 gigahertz, which includes the HF band. So some of the, you know, because what it does is based on the software. So the software may have single sideband or CW decoders or things like that. And so that's an interesting thought. For $30, you can have your own HF receiver. Not the greatest receiver in the world. It's not awful either. But that would be one place to start about that. Start with something like that. And that's something we can talk about a little bit in the future as well. Maybe I'll see if I can put together some handy links here on hamoperator.com. Otis mentions the DX cluster works very well. Otis, tell us what about the DX cluster.
All right, Chris. Well, the DX cluster is basically where you get your spots, and there's several different websites that you can access that. I know Ham Radio Deluxe has it included in that, and you actually register there, and you can actually spot. A lot of the phones have the apps to look at that, but it's separated by different bands, and you can generally tell by the activity or the spots on that particular band. Where everyone is. The nice thing about the Ham Radio Deluxe, having it attached to your radio, which it's attached to the 991A here, because that's what I use for S-meter when I'm in group monitor mode over on 29250, is if during the logbook process there, if the DX cluster is active, you can actually, if you see a spot, you can actually just click on that, and it'll take the radio to that frequency. So that's a pretty handy feature as well. But if you're out working parks on the air or POTA, and you actually have that app on your phone, you can see where the activity is and whether or not you have been spotted on that. So, you know, as long as you've got the internet high eye, things are nice on that. But a lot of that contest activities and whatnot, that would be assisted. And typically, if I'm working something like that, I don't use the DX spotter network. But if you're just wanting to see where the activity is, that's an excellent tool to use. W4IOD back to net control.
Oh, okay. Very good. If you know, for the very popular modes like FT4 and FT8, FT4 being a faster FT8, There's a website called PSK Papa Sugar Kilo Reporter, PSKReporter.info. Then you can go in there and you can pick a band and a mode and stuff like that. You can put in a call sign if you want, and it will show you all the people that, well, yeah, pretty much most of the people anyway, running modes like FT8 and so on, and what contacts they've had in the last 15 minutes, 30 minutes, hour. Very likely you're going to want the 15-minute selection, because if you don't put a call sign in there, you'll get overwhelmed. But you can kind of get an idea for what the people are able to do on the different bands. And so, like, if you were to look at it now for 10 meters, you'd very likely see that where it's dark on the Earth. They have a nice map that they put up there, and you can turn the Terminator on so you can see where the sun is shining. But there won't be much activity on 10 meters. But if, say, in Australia, down there where Pete is, they're probably making 10 meter contacts there. And so forth and so on. So anyway, pskreporter.info, you can kind of go and see what kind of contacts people are having. And generally on those modes, most people are not running high power. If you see some of the DX contacts and stuff, they might have expensive antennas and things like that. But since they were foolish enough to spend all their money on expensive antennas, that doesn't mean you have to. So wire and coax cable, aluminum and 50 ohms is evil. And Oda says, yeah, so there's a program that's used to do FT8 and stuff like that, WSJT-X. And you can turn it on so what your software is doing reports into the pskreporter.info. Those are really fun modes. The digital stuff has equalized things for people. And, at QST and stuff, you'll see all these big pictures, pictures of these big antenna systems, and you're sitting there living in an apartment going, I'm never going to be able to do that. Well, I wish they wouldn't do that, because with modest means, you can have a lot of fun. And these digital modes, because they require a fraction of the signal that you need for voice, they've really equalized things when it comes to making contacts across the country and around the world. Any other comments? Call net control.
November 8, Alpha Alpha X-ray again. I've got another link there.
Go. Yeah, go ahead with your link, Steve.
It's simpler than I thought it was. It's just www.sdrutah.org. And if you go there, you'll find, I like the SDR, Web SDR 2 is green. You click on it, it'll take you right there, and it'll start displaying what's going on. I think it comes up on the 20-meter band by default, but you can... Look, you've got the controls there. You can select the band you want to look at. But and on 10 meters, they've got 10 meter low, 10M, and then there's low. It's split into a low and a high section. You want to see the low end of the band. So anyhow, might give it a try.
One more time with the URL.
The URL is www.sdrutah.org. That's sdrutah.org.
Okay, very good. I got my SDR in Utah backwards. It's like, man, we're bringing this light down. Okay, very good. I've been to that one before. Yeah, it's a neat thing to play with. Check it out. Okay, let's get back to Jim. Jim, as you'll recall, was having USB issues with his setup there. Just before I do that, a reminder. I'm interested in hearing from people who've had a problem, like doing WireSX kind of functions on the repeater. And they work okay on low power, but not high power. And it doesn't really matter how, strong you are, I don't think. But had that experience on the FT70 here where I was trying to change the room, couldn't do it, but the radio on low power worked fine. And Otis lets us know that Jack, AB4WS, he does FT8 remote from his iPad using the cough cough ICOM 705 QRP radio. And yes, you can, that's one of the interesting things with some of these things. They've got the FT8, yes, sit down watching TV and run it from your iPad. There's Whisper, which is a weak signal reporting type system where, you know, for 20 milliwatts and people 5,000 miles away will pick up your signal. And you can monitor that from your iPad and other things as well. It's a whole different world with the digital connection. Mentioning Ham Radio Deluxe, I run that here too. You do pay money for that. If you're, you know, going to seriously be in the HF stuff and you're down with spending a little under $100 for a piece of good software, I would recommend it, but you don't need that to start with. WS JT-X is freeware, and there are other digital softwares that are basically free or terribly inexpensive where you can do other HF digital modes. We'll talk about that another night. Okay, now that I've interrupted myself, we'll get back to Jim, KN6AYW. Hopefully we haven't bored him to death. Are you still there, Jim?
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I'm still here. Just kind of read the mail. I think it was Otis that came back in that was talking about that port appliance. I don't know what you call it that he was talking about. I wonder if he's still around. I wonder if he would run that by me again or run that by the net again. Jim KN6AYW.
Okay, Otis is hearing you now. Go ahead and take it, Otis.
K9EQ, W4IOD. I'm hearing Jim now, so he's solid here for the moment. And it's one of those things where the internet, it works great when it works, not so much when it doesn't. But Jim, I was actually mentioning the fact that there are some known issues with some laptops. Lance out in Idaho has discovered those. But for the most part, what happens to most folks' computers is when the Windows pushes out the Patch Tuesday updates, for some unknown reason, it wants to reassign the sound card and devices. And I've had that happen to me here as well, where I run an actual WinLink setup on some of my computers and some of the signal links in regards to what I use for the digital modes, whether it be FT8 or PSK31. But anyhow, and it's one of the things that you can solve that sometimes by installing a USB sound card, a little Sabret sound card. It's just a little dongle sound card that you can get off Amazon, and I don't know what they are now. Everything's gone up, but I think I paid, it was around $10 when I bought mine. But it's a Sabret. I'll spell Sierra Alpha Bravo Romeo Echo November Tango. But that works excellent for an alternative sound card on some of the laptops. And also, I've seen folks reinstall the wrong COM port when they install the software, instead of make sure that when you plug that cable in, that you are pointing the software to the right COM port. Chris was mentioning the driver issue, and that is correct. But also, pointing it to the wrong COM port can cause you issues as well, because I've seen that happen where folks will point it to the wrong COM port, i.e. the Bluetooth COM port, which it'll try to work, but it won't work. We've seen that happen before. So it's kind of hard to troubleshoot over the radio, because I can't see the computer in front of me. But Chris had mentioned the drivers, and I was just telling you from personal experience in the past with different folks, the COM port is important. So easiest way is to go to Device Manager and actually plug in where your cable for your FT5D, where you can see that, and write down the COM port, and make sure when you launch the software, you're pointing to or selecting the right COM port. Chris, that's all we've got. W4IOD, back to net control. Hopefully that helps Jim out.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Can run that by me again one more time. The name of that dongle was SBA, and I didn't quite get the rest of it, sir.
I'll take it over. It is SABRENT. SABRENT. I just went to Amazon here, and there it is, $9. However, just for your information, the chip that these sound devices use is the CM Charlie Mike 119. That's a very standard sound chip that's used all over the place. So if you type into the search engine in Amazon something like CM Charlie Mike 119, and then just to narrow the search down, something like USB, and what I did here is CM119 USB, and then the word sound. I just got a whole list of these little plug-in devices that presumably use that chip, including the ODI's recommended Sabrent, S-A-B-R-E-N-T. There might be times at which you want to make sure you have a CM119. If you're getting into All-Star or something like that, for this, it doesn't matter. But anyway, Jim, there's a bazillion of them on, you know, if you want to take your chances, you can get three of them for $11. And general principle, I recommend doing that anyway, that if you're plugging something dedicated into your computer that's going to use audio, I would say you're well advised to not use a systems sound device, but to use the external one. One of the reasons is that Windows, having gotten smarter, Anyway, if you don't have a lot of the computers, laptops, desktops, Windows. If you don't have something plugged into the port, it won't recognize it as a sound device. It's off. It's like it doesn't exist until you plug the thing in. And one of the things I hate about Windows is when you go and unplug and plug things in, it might reorder your sound devices. And so in the WireZX software or whatever application you're running, there's probably WireZX let you do it. It might be in Windows. It wants the default sound device. So you set the default sound device in your Windows menus and stuff, and you'd want to set it to this external device. I'm not sure it. I don't recall if WireZX lets you set the sound device. So there you go. Recommend that. The other thing is you may be getting messed up by a driver that you got installed but didn't install correctly. And you'll have poor luck until you get rid of it. Windows, just for background, has driver code, and when you plug a device into USB, it creates a driver for it. If you take that same device and plug it into another USB port, it'll create another driver for it. Because they're totally different, right? But what you can do is in the device manager, without the device plugged in, you can, there's a tab up there where you can have it, you can select show all hidden devices. And then what you want to do is you want to search out and destroy device drivers that are associated with maybe the sound or the virtual COM port that aren't working. Anything that, you know, looks suspicious, generally you're okay with deleting them. I would not delete CPU drivers. That could be a problem. But, you know, our human interface devices and stuff, generally okay, because when Windows will recreate those drivers if they're required. Anyway, does that help, Jim?
Well, yeah, you guys have given me a lot to think about. And I will maybe pick up one of those separate sound cards and give that a shot. But I just got a... This computer is less than a year old. It's a Dell. And bottom line, I bought it just strictly for radio purpose and not for anything else. So, like I said, the thing was working. It was singing like a bird, and then it quit. It just rolled over and died. So, anyway, I tried everything I could think of. Actually talked to the people at Yaesu for quite a while. Got made a couple of phone calls to them and whatever. And the guy that I talked to, don't recall his name, but very knowledgeable, very helpful, and he said, I almost bet it's a sound card. So, like I said, I ended up plugging into another computer with the same cable, a friend of mine's computer that already had WireSX downloaded, and worked like a charm. So it's something in this computer that that either I'm doing wrong or something that got corrupted or went south. So anyway, no, I appreciate all the suggestions, and it gives me a lot more arrows in my quiver. Yeah, back to you, Chris, and Otis, I appreciate all the help, sir. Thank you.
Okay, very good, Jim. We'll check back, let us know how you make out. One thing that occurred to me, too, as a sort of a fix. When you're in the HRI mode, it wants the sound card because it wants to be able to let you connect to rooms that do analog and digital. However, if you're just interested in digital, you should be able to put it in the PDN mode. And not all the rooms will work, but this one will. So there you go. And let's see. I guess there's a question from Shane. Do you want to handle the question? Do you have a radio there? N0PXT from K90Q.
K90Q, this is N0PXT. Yeah, I have a radio here, Chris. I'll read the question. This question's from Joel from the chat room, K0OQL. Is there a way for tech class to monitor the 10-meter C4FM without transmitting, turning the power dials to put out a signal? And it looks like, Otis, you have an answer for that, so I'll pass it over to you. W4IOD, this is N0PXT.
N0PXT, W4IOD. Well, that's the nice thing about being net control, and Chris is taking full advantage of that tonight. He can dish out the assignment as he sees fit. Yes, and for everybody listening, Joel says he's also interested in the HF discussion as well, Chris, so that's another one for HF. But the question is asked, is there any way to go to 29250 and go to group mode and actually, or group monitor, and actually look at the display without transmitting either packet data or voice? And yes, there is. The thing about that, and a lot of folks do that when they're out of the shack, is they just want to see who they're receiving, like whisper mode. So the way the radio is configured, it will not beacon if it's receiving something. So if the squelch is open, it will not transmit. So if you turn your squelch all the way down, it will not beacon your call out. And you still receive the packet data, and you still receive all the voice data if you have the AF gain turned up. So there you go, Joel. Anyone else wanting to do that? If they're out of the shack, it's good amateur practice. And some folks do this, and some folks do not. But if you're not there to answer the radio, don't beacon. Because folks will call you. And there's some frustrated discussion that I see over on the Facebook group with that. But I'm not laughing here as far as you know. W4IOD, back to net control.
Okay. Well, Shane, thanks very much. Odie, thank you very much. And I think we're getting towards the end here. But we'll check around to see if anybody has any further comments or questions for the net.
KB9WGP.
Yeah, Dan, KB9WJP. All right, go ahead, K9EQ.
KB9WGP, yeah, this is Dan. I'm over in Camp Douglas, Wisconsin here. And I just wanted to say thanks to you guys for taking the time to run this net. This is by far one of the best technical nets that I stumbled across here in recent memory. Been a technician class ham for probably over 20 years now, and just kind of recently getting back into it on the amateur side of things here. I've done a lot of work in safety, VHF, UHF, and on the military side of HF. So it's kind of nice to hear a conversation, I guess, and I'd definitely be interested in hearing more on HF. Whatever you guys got to put out is good info. Back to you, Net Control.
It's funny. I've got these messages popping up. And one came in from VK5JP of a very old electric car being charged. He knows I'm a fan of electric cars. I was going, is that from the chat room? Is that was, you know, because all these messages pop up in the same place. Anyway, well, Dan, you're very welcome. It's fun to do this stuff. And hey, you know, the mission statement of the Bakken Amateur Radio Society is to explore, invent, discover, learn, and that's the human spirit, right? Doing new things, stuff like that. You know, for the ham radio stuff is getting a bit stale. You just need to reach out and do. There's so much stuff out there to do. We've got some great satellites up in the air, and some of them are digital. You've got all this digital stuff on HF. There's a lot of things to do in addition to, the repeaters and everything work great. It was one of my first interests when I got into ham radio many years ago. It still is. But I've got to say, some of these other things have been a lot of fun too, and I'm looking forward to doing some things I haven't done before and learning some more stuff and helping other people, spend more money. The good thing with ham radio is it doesn't have to be expensive. You could have hobbies that are way more expensive. I mean, you can make it expensive, but it doesn't have to be expensive. And, if you have to watch your pennies, you can still have a lot of fun. Anyway, with that, we'll just make another check for anybody else who has anything for the net.
Kilo India 5, Oscar Sierra.
KI 5, OF. David, go ahead.
Hello, Chris. My name is David. I'm
in north central Texas, 60 miles south and a little west of Fort Worth, and ran across your net here. I was curious if I could just get a little rundown and some information so I can make the next net when it's scheduled. Maybe get some information to where I can go find a website or something that talks about schedule. Enjoyed listening to y'all this evening. Kilo India 5, Oscar Sierra, back to net control.
Okay, very good, David. Well, thanks for stopping in. That's a nice installation you have on that. Looks like a dual band antenna, maybe a diamond or a comet. This net meets every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. It's carried on WireSX 21493, or YSF in the hotspot 21493. And it's offered by the Bach and Amateur Radio Society. The website is hamoperator.com. So on hamoperator.com, we'll just give a quick tour. The information about the net is up in the right-hand corner, upper right-hand corner. And we also have a calendar in there of some other nets that may or may not be carried in your area, or if you've got a hotspot or something, you might want to tune in. When I can, I provide the hotspot information. And we've got some help information about Fusion, WireSX, the Bible. If you go under MinWiz, under chat is the chat room. We've had a few people in there tonight. Another interesting thing there is if you look at live data, there's a couple of reports in there. And one of them, you can see the stations that are last heard, updated about every 30 minutes or so. So you all the stations on this network, the MinWiz network. You also have which nodes are connected to us here, as well as things like all the active nodes. So you might the active nodes might be interesting because if you're traveling somewhere, it'll have information about the node number and what frequency it is on, perhaps. So explore around hamoperator.com, and also the recorded broadcast for previous nets and this net and the live stream. So David, does that help?
Yes, Chris, it was a lot of help. I just switched from the repeater that I ran across y'all on. And since you gave me the YSF number, I switched over to my hotspot. So I hope the hotspot's working and you're hearing me. Thank you for the information. I will definitely be looking forward to your next net. I will make it for sure. 73s. This is Kilo India 5 Oscar Sierra back to net control.
Okay, David, thank you for checking in and representing Texas for us. Glad to have you stop by. And who knows, maybe we'll be talking to more folks over on HF and stuff like that. Anyway, I'm going to bring the net to a close. Thanks to everybody for attending, and thank you for our net control thank you, net control operators who helped with this. We have Shane, and we have Pete, and we have Otis, who contributed greatly to the effort tonight. This has been the Fusion Technical Net, offered by the Bach Amateur Radio Society. It's held every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. It's available in WireSX and YSF 21493. It's also available as a stream on hamoperator.com, still under development. and recordings of selected nets and previous nets are also available at the same place at the hamoperator.com. Everybody have a great week. Thanks for stopping by. Please leave about 2 minutes of silence for all the stations to disconnect who wish to disconnect. And 7-3s. And one more item for the recording. This recording was made January 23rd, 2023. 7-3.